Right about now, in homes all across Michigan, high school juniors and seniors and their parents are knee-deep in the college search, taking those ACTs and SATs, visiting college campuses, trying them on for size, writing the perfect application essay, waiting for the letter that says, congratulations, and in virtually every home, trying to figure out how on earth to pay for college. But there is one place in America where parents do not have to wrestle with that thorny question of paying for college. There is one city in the country where if you graduate from that city's high school, you get to go to college free. And that city is Kalamazoo. It's been 7 years now since an anonymous donor or donors made a promise to kids who graduated from the city's high schools to pay their college tuition. It's called The Promise, and cities across America are watching closely, trying to gauge its power and success. Ted Fishman wrote about The Promise for the New York Times recently. He joins us from his Chicago office. Ted, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, I'm so glad to be with you and to talk about the Kalamazoo Promise.
This promise is unusually straightforward and elegant in its design. Tell us how it's structured.
It's simple. If you go through the Kalamazoo Public Schools, and they have to be the Kalamazoo Public School District Schools, and you graduate from high school, provided you've been there 3 years or more in the system, you get money for college. If you've gone all the way from kindergarten, you get all the tuition money paid for. It has to be a Michigan State school. And then the amount reduces in small increments all the way up to your sophomore year of high school. So if you finish your sophomore year of high school only in Kalamazoo, I think you get 60 or 65% of your tuition.
As you looked into the promise for the piece you wrote for the New York Times, how impressed were you personally with the impact of the promise on the lives of these public school students?
I was deeply moved by the whole thing. I was moved by the act of philanthropy, which simply said, you know, the kids in Kalamazoo are valuable and loved, and they will get this gift of education. But more deeply than that, I was moved by how the fact of the promise made the town, the city, reexamine what it is and what it can do for itself. So if the promise just existed on its own and children just went to school, it would already be a tremendous program. But what Kalamazoo said for its own is, if we invest as much as we can in the effort to prepare students for college, then we will make the most of its gift. It didn't need to do that. The promise says nothing about what the town ought to do, and yet it set itself this goal of pushing more kids towards graduation, improving the test scores, getting the most for the tuition money that was coming their way.
And so give us some more into what the city did for students, obviously starting when they're quite young, right?
Yeah, and that's changing. So the original wave of attention came towards the public schools. How can the public schools improve? How do you create a culture among parents to tell parents that their children have to be college ready? How do you create an attitude among the children that the quality of their scholarship in school affects what they will get 12 years later when they graduate? You know, so how do you start talking to kindergarteners, first, second, third graders about college as part of their future? And that's not a trivial that's not a trivial chore, because, you know, in Kalamazoo, lots of the families had no college culture whatsoever. And, you know, lots of things that middle-class families and above might take for granted about aiming for those goals really needed to be inculcated into the culture of much of the town. Kalamazoo is a prosperous industrial town by many measures, but it's also one of America's poorest places by other measures. One out of three children in the school system is poor, is officially poor, and many more than that are near poor. And college just simply hadn't been on the radar of those families because they didn't hold out hope of it. Now they can.
The way you described it, when the youngsters got word of this promise that had been made in this donation, the kids began crying. That is extremely moving.
And when you hear the children talk about it, you know, what it means for them, how it shifted their future. You know, I talked to many of the graduates of the first wave of recipients of the program, and this does open for them that they had never imagined. Hmm. You know, one thing that's really interesting about the Promise, it's a scholarship for anything you want to study. If you're getting a scholarship from some other source, often it's for math or science or something practical, and you have to be a good student, they're merit scholarships or they're need-based scholarships.
Right.
Here, if you want to study the arts, if you want to study film, if you want to study engineering, if you want to go into, if you want to learn how to illuminate a medieval manuscript and that's your passion, there's a full tuition scholarship for you at the end of high school.
And to date, you reported that the Promise has paid out $35 million for post-secondary study and about 2,500 students. So how has that impacted the graduation rate and the dropout rate for Kalamazoo schools?
You know, it has not influenced the dropout rate that much. So the number of students who don't make it to the end, or the percentage of students who don't make it to the end, is still about the same as it was when the Promise began, and that's disheartening.
The ones who are going, though, it's amazing to think that they have the that latitude to pick their passion, go after it, and know that tuition is covered, and also that they have 10 years to get this done, so the clock isn't ticking, and if you have to take time out to help the family out, you can do that.
And that came late, Cynthia. When the Promise was originated, they didn't expect the students to take so long to graduate, but because they weren't thoroughly college-ready, because life sometimes intrudes, it became clear in those early years of the program that students would be stopping and starting in college, so they needed to give them that 10-year window.
If you've just joined us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, speaking with writer Ted Fishman, who profiled The Promise for the New York Times recently. This is happening in Kalamazoo, where a donor is paying the college tuition of youngsters who graduate from Kalamazoo Public Schools. Ted, any idea who the mystery donor is?
The town, most people in the town feel pretty confident they know who it is, but it's kind of at the urban myth level of knowledge. You know, there are some wealthy families in Kalamazoo. One of them is the Stryker family, and the Stryker family founded and still has a role in a very large industrial company that makes prosthetic joints and hospital beds and
yes.
other devices for healthcare. And several members of the family had roles in the Kalamazoo Public Schools in their youth. So people put those facts together and say maybe it's them. You know, one thing I think it's kind of fun to speculate on is what would the town think if they learned that it wasn't a local person who has direct contact
wow.
with and love for the children? What if you learned it was an ideologue or a foreign monarch? There's, just for fun, I thought about what if it were the king of Saudi Arabia, because Western Michigan University has a very large Saudi contingent of students there, and wonder if this were a form of thank you. Would you think differently? Would the schools respond differently if the king of Saudi Arabia funded it? Now, I don't think that's likely, but nobody knows.
Nobody
the donor's knows. Anonymous.
I know that there's even some speculation it could be one very famous New York Yankee.
Yeah, well, it might be, but
Mr. Derek Jeter, right?
Because Derek Jeter, who's from Kalamazoo and
yeah.
Has a foundation that does help Kalamazoo students in some important ways. But if you look at his income, he just doesn't have enough money to be the sole sponsor. He might be one of a group, but it's all speculation. That's part of the magic, though, because it leaves the agenda of the Promise up to the community that receives it, and it's not top-down.
It's not top-down, yeah. Is there anything like the Promise being started up in other cities and towns?
Yes, there's more than a dozen around the country. And one happy result of the New York Times article is that I received a lot of correspondence from other communities that are thinking about it and thinking of rallying it. And they don't all need, you know, a single group or a single family of donors. You can collect money from all kinds of sources and create it. It's expensive, but it's not unaffordable.
Hmm.
You know, one of the calculations in the piece is what would it take for New York City to have a Kalamazoo Promise type program? It would take about $20 billion for that. Well, there's 53 billionaires in New York City.
Huh.
They don't have to be the only donors, but they alone could fund it, and some of them have well north of $1 billion. You know, you could see a lot of Promise programs around the country.
I think the way you phrase this as a very important social experiment was well put. What in your heart did you feel that this social experiment was trying to prove?
I think for me it is this community aspect of it. I'm very interested in what is the economic and social value of a community that has booster values, that really promotes its own, that communicates to its own that we love each other, that we're in it together, that there is a sense of the public. And what the Kalamazoo Promise does is it takes a giant piece of private philanthropy and it uses it as a spur for public action. And it's a rare experiment. It's rare in its scale, and it's rare in, you know, how the focus on children has really spread to being a communal focus on all things. For the community to succeed, it's decided that school alone is not enough. It has to address housing, health care, diet. These are the only ways you can maximize the gift. If the children do well on all these fronts, and their parents also have to be well-fed, healthy, and so on. So it's public health in its most broad speaking, and it's the community responding to this private gift in that way. I think it's a very, very fascinating spur of local democracy.
Fascinating, fascinating piece. Is there any end time to this? Is this just going to go on and on and on?
You know, I've heard conflicting stories about that. I think the latest and most reliable is that there is enough money in the promise to fund it in perpetuity. So it's there. It's there to be an example for all of us. It's there to have time to work. There's a lot of philanthropy in the country which is on a clock. But when you're dealing with problems that have unfolded over generations, you probably need generations to solve them, or at least one generation. And the Kalamazoo Promise is committed to that.
It'll be fascinating to see how this does play out as there's been 7 classes now, right?
That's right. And the graduation rates are good. They're better than the national average. And if you think education in any form is a value, then you might be heartened by the fact that 90% of the recipients of Promise money have had at least some college education, which ought to provide them a boost in any rate, even if they don't graduate.
Ted Fishman, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us today on Stateside.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Writer Ted Fishman did a piece about the promise for the New York Times recently. We'll put a link to that piece on our website at michiganradio.org.